Paso's independent film scene has produced a network of creatives putting together impressive short and feature-length films, often on a shoestring budget, but with a lot of heart. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for Charles Horak, and this is On Film. One of the founding purposes of this program is to feature emerging local filmmakers and their work. Today's guest, Anthony Salgado, a returning guest at that, has begun an Indiegogo campaign for his second feature film, Cut the Tech. I don't like long introductions, so let's cut right to it. Good morning, Anthony.
Morning. Thank you for having me here, Kyle. Thank you.
So the fundraiser aims to get $5,000 or more to cover production costs for the film, which include a crew and actor fee, sets, costumes, props, and food, which is the best part. But before we get to the film and the fundraiser, one thing that I want to know, and I'm surprised I've never asked you this in all the years that I've known you, when did you realize that making films was a calling?
I realized filmmaking was a calling when I saw Pulp Fiction. And afterwards, I wanted to make stories like that, just weird and strange situations where the characters popped out. I always was into storytelling. I would always write. But after that, watching that film, I decided, okay, I think I could make films like that.
Mm. And at that point, how old are you? And when did
I saw Pulp Fiction when I was in middle school. So I was a sixth grader.
And you were hooked ever since.
Yes. I remember I told my parents, you know, can you get me this movie? And you know, my parents didn't question. They were like, yeah, okay.
Hmm.
And you know, the elements in the movie, watching that when you're in middle school, that's like
a bit intense.
Yeah, I was like, well, what's happening? What is that? But yeah, I enjoyed the film. And.
And when the first step to, you know, from going from film appreciation to film creation, how were your parents? Were they fully supportive? Or?
In the beginning, I wanted to start making like little mini movies in elementary. And I remember at the time they had released the DVD recorders. These are the recorders that you put in like DVD, like mini DVD files or the CDs in general, and you put them in and you record. I told my parents, you know, I want to make little mini movies. And my mom's like, no, we'll get it, and that's it. Like, it'll stay there. And so I just kind of put that away, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then years later, middle school, I would write, and a teacher, Ms. Vias at Ross Middle School, we were told to do like an alternative ending to our favorite movie. I did an alternative ending for Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. And
what was it?
How I wrote it was very script-based.
Okay.
Where it's like the actions, the scene actions, the dialogue, and like the music comes into the scene. And she made everyone kind of read it out loud, and I was nervous. And my friend, Alexander Wright, he's also a theater actor here in El Paso. He's like, oh, I'll read it for you. And he read it out loud, and I was like, oh. And then Ms. Vias, she took me to the side and she's like, you know, you kind of wrote in like screenplay format. You know what that is? Mm. I'm like, well, no, what is that? And it's like, oh, when you write for movies. I'm like, okay. And then within that time frame, I saw Pulp Fiction and then I put everything together. And I'm like, all right, I gotta do it.
So, you know, a couple years later, you put it together. And then in 2017, you debuted your feature film, Paranoid Flux. And now this is your second feature film, Cut the Tech. What's the difference between that film and this one? How has it changed?
The difference between Paranoid Flux and Cut the Tech is that Cut the Tech is a strict art film.
Mm.
It's experimental, long takes. Just I want to kind of do the unconventional story. It has a story, but it's not your typical film. And I have to emphasize that because I know art films such as Gus Van Sant's Last Days, Sleeping Beauty with Emily Browning. Those are very artsy art films. Mm-hmm. And I watch those. And I know a lot of the mainstream audience don't watch that. So that's why when I did the campaign, I emphasized like this is like it's one of those films. So just be prepared to kind of just sit there and just kind of watch.
Mm-hmm. So what's it about? It's about.
It's about a girl named Julia who loses her technology, which is her phone.
Okay.
And she has to endure the day without it.
Mm-hmm.
And so along the way, she meets these like strange and interesting people. And she has to basically get to her friend's house.
Okay.
Because her friend's having a party. So that's basically the story. It's very simple.
Yeah.
But I wanted to use the elements of just long takes and just abstract shots for the film.
Mm. So when you were beginning sort of the conceptual process of this film, what was the spark? Was it a scene, a line, a visual image? How did it come into being?
I think it's what's happening now, I guess, especially with our phones. And don't get me wrong, I use my phone too. But I think now it's so hyper intense where we're on our phone checking social media, everything. Just it's like we're just overstimulated. And I had a conversation with, you know, my nieces and nephew, and they're on their phones. And I'm like, wow, like I had a full blown dialogue. And they're on their phones.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, maybe I could make something and use that and kind of show that, you know, that's kind of affecting us, where there's not a lot of communication. You know, when you go out to the malls or to the restaurants, you see a couple and they're on their phones.
Yeah.
But then who am I to judge them? But just it's like 10, 20 years ago, you didn't see that.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. That's like, I want to kind of use what's happening now.
Mm-hmm. So talking about other influences, what films influenced Cut the Tech?
The films that influenced Cut the Tech are Gus Van Sant's Last Days, Sleeping Beauty with Emily Browning, and Russian Ark.
What's that one?
That film, it's basically the history of Russia. And the story is like it follows this character, and it's a 3-hour movie, and it's following this character through the history of Russia, and I believe they have this big museum where it dates like their beginnings to modern times, but it's like from paintings to sculptures. I know the film they took a whole year to prepare, to practice, and when they shot it, they had 2 takes because it's 1 long take.
Wow.
So yeah, so
it's impressive.
Those movies, you know, they have abstract shots, long takes. They're just, again, they're not mainstream films.
Mm. It's an art house film, and there's a lot of experimental takes you're going to be using. Why did you choose those particular genres as touchpads for this project?
I chose those because, like I said, I'm a fan of that genre. Mm-hmm. And I told myself, one day I want to make a movie that has those elements, kind of like an homage to that genre.
And you've already cast it. You've got your actors ready.
Yes,
which brings us to the campaign. You need the money.
Yes,
to pay for you know, production costs, the actors. How was the casting process like?
The casting was really, really great. I have to thank Jason Carranza. He's also a filmmaker. Him and other business owners, Mr. Crazy. I don't know if you're Mr. Crazy,
yes.
And another owner, Alberto, I forgot his last name, but the three of them, they own a shop in EP Brand. It's on Montana. Mm-hmm. And anyways, they helped me with the casting, having a place to cast. And I know that's really hard to find a place to cast in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so they helped me out with that. And it was great. Had a good turnout. Again, social media is very used often today rather than 10 years ago. I used the same strategies that I used 10 years ago recently. And I just got a lot of, you know, I got a good outcome with a lot of people showing up and for the casting.
And the actors, had you worked with a large chunk of them before? Or are you very comfortable with them?
To be honest, they were all brand new.
Nice.
I've seen some in other, they came out in other filmmakers' films, but other than that, no, they were brand new.
New to you. Yeah, very cool. So that kind of leads me to the next thing I'm super curious about is you wear, as a lot of local filmmakers do, a lot of different hats in the production, writing, directing, editing, sound. What is your process like with your actors?
My process with my actors is obviously I like to give them a backstory, you know, their intentions, their motivations, basically their history. You know, why are they at that point and what are they thinking, their feelings? So I give them that information so they kind of think about it when they're in the scene. And I also like to kind of just savor the moment when we're rolling. I just sometimes I tell them, you know, go with it. You know, I had previous actors in other films where they're theater trained, and that kind of like throws them off, like, oh, what do you mean by that? I'm like, well, just reflect, be in the moment. Like, there's no camera, just go with it.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're a very naturalistic kind of director when you're working with your actors. Do you do like David Fincher 100,000 million takes, or are you pretty good about like?
No, I don't do a lot of takes. I mean, I do enough to cover what I need for the edit, but no, I don't do more than 100.
So when you're writing a film, do you find writing a feature film has different challenges compared to a short film, or do you like having sort of the leg room to tell a story?
I think the difference between the feature and the film is that you could add more characters, more elements to a longer piece. But I think at the same time, it's sort of the same thing. I think it's much, in terms of production, it's faster to shoot a short than a feature. But I think if you put both of them side by side, they both have the same elements where you have to kind of reach in terms of what the character's doing or if they have a goal. But I think it's just one's less and one's more.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. So I've got time for one more question, and I realize it's one of those like dinner party questions, but I'm genuinely curious about this. If there was a filmmaker you could collaborate on any set, dead or alive, who would it be, and what would your role be on that set?
Okay, I would love to collaborate with Francis Ford Coppola. And I don't know what I would do. I think I would just be a shadow and just observe and just absorb, write journals and logs and just absorb the moment.
So what is it about him?
He has a theater background, and he nurtures like the characters, and it's like he's more story driven, and I think he's just very grandiose. Is that the correct term? Very grand.
When I think of his movies,
yeah. So it's like, wow, like I hope to make movies like that, you know, someday.
Very cool. My guest today has been area filmmaker Anthony Salgado. His latest film, Cut the Tech, is gearing up for production and is currently hosting a fundraiser on Indiegogo with a goal to raise $5,000 or more to cover costs for crew, actor fees, props, costumes, and sets. The campaign is now live on Indiegogo and can be found by searching Cut the Tech. You can follow the film's journey on social media by following Anthony's production account on Instagram at @BynumbersProduction and the film's official Facebook page by searching for Cut the Tech on Facebook. On Film's producer and engineer is Seth Van Meter. An archive of past programs can be found at ktep.org. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for Charles Horak, and thank you for joining me for On Film.